You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
And I didn't want to do this podcast without talking about this guy, Bartolo Colon. He's played on 10 teams in his career. Can you name 10? If you could name 10, that'd be very impressive.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
But I'll tell you, Leon freaking haunts my Mariner dreams, along with Chris Taylor and Justin Smoke and all these guys that leave the Mariners and have career years. So he's just another one added to the bunch.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hey everybody, I'm your host, Mike Levin, aka Mike the Rotocop, and I'm joined by my new partner in crime, no pun intended, Randy Haynes. How's it going, Randy?
Good, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. So, being that this is our first show, let me quickly explain to our audience here our agenda. And like I was talking to you off air, our aim is to really keep everybody up to date on transactions, trades, pickups, hot guys, cold guys, everything baseball related, and put our spin on it, which hopefully will lead to some success for fantasy baseball owners, our listeners. So not only can they hear us on the podcast, Randy, where could they find you on Twitter or any other outlets?
I am at RTH222 on Twitter and write for Friends with Fantasy Benefits, and also at Head and Heart Sports. Not so much fantasy over there, but if you want some regular sports stuff, you can check that out. But RTH222 on Twitter.
All right, and you could also find me at Mike the Rotocop. You can find me on Fantasy Assembly doing the podcast there, and now I'm one of the new members of FWFB, so once the season starts, we should really get going. And I know Friends with Fantasy Benefits has really done a great job during the off season. They did the 30-team previews in 30 days, so if you want to catch up, because now football's over, so you really should be spending all your attention to baseball if you want to win. You can catch up there. They do the prospect minutes with Matt Thompson, and Justin did a great job with everything else. So let's start off today's show. And what I believe was the biggest news of the fantasy week, maybe day, whatever you want to say, Irvin Santana is out 10 to 12 weeks with a finger injury. Now, this is obviously a huge blow for Minnesota, who is a team that's expecting to contend. And I'm going to read off the Twins' rotation to you, and it's pretty ugly, especially without Irvin Santana. It was ugly with him in it, and now without him in it, it's even worse. You got Jose Berrios, Kyle Gibson, Mejia, Seegers, and Steven Gonzalez. And those last three guys I named, really, I mean, Gonzalez is their number three prospect, but those other guys, are they really going to be ready to pitch in meaningful MLB games? What are your thoughts on the Santana injury? And talk to me about his value. How much value does he lose now missing the first, hypothetically, month of the season?
From a major league perspective, I still think there's another move in there even before this injury. I think this just kind of solidifies that they're definitely going to have to go out and grab another arm. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to be willing to spend. Maybe they can get a discount on Arrieta. That doesn't seem like a spot that Darvish would go, at least to me. But they could still maybe go out and try to bargain shop on like Lance Lynn, if, depending on how that situation plays out. From a fantasy perspective, the big thing with Santana has always been 30-plus starts, 6 of the last 7 years. You know what you're getting from him. So that does dock his value. Even if he's back on the short end of that timetable, you're looking at a month. Maybe he misses 3 weeks. So that probably knocks him down, I would say, at least a full tier for me, because he wasn't an accumulator as it was. The skills weren't anything special, and some regression was due if you look at the 477 XFIP that he put up last year. Santana wasn't somebody I was looking to get anyway.
So now with Santana getting hurt, I immediately ran to Twitter. I put a poll up, and I want to know what the Twins fans thought, if they should go after Arrieta, Darvish, or somebody else. And there's been 135 votes so far, and like I think it was like an hour and a half ago. Darvish got 80% of the vote, Arrieta got 10, and other got 10, other being a guy like Lance Lynn or somebody else. So you can see the Twins fans really want Darvish. I don't know if they want him pitching in the playoffs, but they really want Darvish. And even with Darvish, they're still going to need another piece because Darvish and Berrios, and then you're playing with fire with the rest of the guys. And I kind of wish Matt joined us today because they got Fernando Romero in the minors. He's in Double A right now, and I'm not sure what his timeline looks like, but he seems like he could be a frontline guy. So maybe he gets a look at some point during the season. But it seems like if Minnesota doesn't make a move here, their pitching is really going to struggle because Kyle Gibson is no number two starter, you know?
Nah, he probably shouldn't even be be a five starter, but that's where they're sitting at. So I said there was probably a move on the horizon for them anyway, but this probably just expedites that process.
Yeah, I agree. Another move that happened today, which conveniently happened today for us now that we're recording, got signed with Texas. He's 35 years old, coming from St. Louis. 2016, he was great. He had a 1.92 ERA and 11.64 Ks per nine. In 2017, we saw the regression. His ERA was over a 4. His Ks per nine dipped all the way to 8.19. So now Texas doesn't have the greatest bullpen in the world. And between O and Claudio, those two guys didn't really strike out too many guys last year. The only logical thing I can see here is Keeler being the closer. Am I wrong?
I mean, that's what you would think, but they don't seem to like him. He has, everybody knows about his off the field issues and throwing a fit about not wanting to be in I think it was a B squad game. He didn't want to pitch in, and just it all kind of snowballed downhill for him last year. He has the best skills, I would think, in that bullpen, especially to be a closer, but it just doesn't, this signing O just kind of clouds things a little more. Claudio pitched well last year, but he doesn't have that big kind of strikeout potential that you would want from an elite closer. We saw that with O back in 2016, and last year I know there was a DL stint there at the end of the season, but you have to think he was hurt. In 2016, among relievers, he had two top 20 pitches based on pitch value, and then last year both, especially the slider, dropped off to where he didn't have anything even close to league average. So hopefully it's a rebound. Maybe there was an injury there that he was hiding or trying to pitch through. He's the one I would keep an eye on in this bullpen, but to me this just makes it even more of a mess than it already was.
I think I saw something last week that said Claudio, he did something during the day and then flew out to pitch. I forgot what, maybe it was a Caribbean series or something, but he's still pitching during the offseason. Bush is another guy that I wanted to talk about real quick, and he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle here. Do you see him as a starter? Do you think he has the stuff?
I mean, with his injuries and his everything else that's going on in his past, I don't know why they would even want to make him a starter. He's somebody, see if he gets back to that form he had in 2016, where he was a really good closer, especially in the second half when he took over for Dyson after he imploded. But that's another name you can throw in there. Somebody that I like a little bit is Jose Leclerc. I've drafted him in a draft champions league that just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, 50 round draft and hold. So you take chances on guys like that in different bullpens that maybe aren't clear, but they've got options. But I don't see anybody other than as spring training goes along that's going to really take hold of that job before, you know, any kind of drafts that are going on right now. So it doesn't really help fantasy owners right now.
Yeah, it really doesn't, and we'll touch on some other closer situations later in the show. Another signing I wanted to get to was Todd Frazier, coming to my hometown, not leaving my hometown, going from the Yankees to the Mets. He's 31 years old. He signs for 2 years and $17 million, and he's projected to hit fifth in the order now. And I thought it was very weird that he had a career-high walk rate last year and a career-high O-swing percentage, but his average was a career-low 226. What are your thoughts on Todd Frazier? You think he'll be able to play at a high level this year with the Mets, batting fifth?
I mean, it's a good bargain for the Mets, kind of considering what else has been going on out there, and it was a good buying opportunity for them. But I don't see where Frazier's really gonna help fantasy owners much this year. You're looking at maybe you can get, if he can get back up to 235. These last couple of years have not been good. 225, 213 batting average, and with the state of power now, you can find a 30 homer guy at the corner at pretty much any point in your draft. In most cases, they're going to have better batting average upside. It seems over the last couple of years, he's not hitting the ball as hard. He's pulling the ball more. He is walking more, like you said, but the infield fly rate is through the roof. He just looks like somebody that's completely, for whatever reason, changed his approach to swing for the fences, and it hasn't. It's not helping things. He's, you know, he was barely over league average last year in terms of WRC plus. So it's not. He needs to go back to his approach for 2014, 2015, but that's nothing you're going to know, obviously, before your draft. So I'd probably just ignore him, except for like the deepest of leagues, because you can find production like that up and down your draft.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe a couple of years ago when he was stealing bases and he was hitting 250. Even last year, he hit 225 in 2016 with 15 stolen bases and 40 homers. The value was there, but now it's just without him running and there's too many strikeouts, the value's really not there for me and Frazier. I think it's more of the Mets haven't done anything all offseason, so now when they did do something, fans are a little bit hyping it up, but I really don't see any value in Frazier.
Yeah, and their infield is just a mess. We laugh about the Adrian Gonzalez deal, but I think they're going to give him a chance to make the club, so that blocks Dominic Smith, but that's also just another bat there. I like Wilmer Flores. For whatever reason, the Mets just, they don't, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to give him everyday playing time. You've still got Reyes on that team. His dribble Cabrera is nice and can play a couple different spots. They need to let Rosario play and kind of break through him as his slumps from last year. So it just looks more like a mess to me. Frazier, I guess, would be the one that should have everyday playing time. So at least he's got that going for him. But the whole situation is a mess.
Yeah, it definitely is, just like the organization. Another thing I wanted to touch on, and you, full disclosure, being an Orioles fan living in Baltimore, Andrew Susak gets traded to Baltimore. I haven't heard too much about this, and I don't know how many people are talking about this on podcasts, but like I said in the intro, we're going to try and cover everything here. So now Baltimore's sitting here with three catchers, Susak, Chan Sisko, and Caleb Joseph. How do you see that playing out, and who do you think has the most value of those guys?
Sisko obviously has the best talent. I think this just kind of goes to, they're not, at least how I read it, is they're not ready to just fully trust him with the job. I think anybody that was drafting him as somebody that was going to get the majority of the playing time was mistaken even before this. Buck Showalter really likes Caleb Joseph, and Caleb Joseph is one of the better pitch framers in the league over the last 3 years. Anybody that owned Kevin Gausman last year and looked really deep in his starts could kind of see start by start whether Caleb Joseph was catching or Wellington Castillo or even Sisko at the end of the year, that it was night and day. So they're going to play Joseph more often than not, regardless of who the second catcher is. I do think that Sisko will beat Susak out in spring training for the number two job, but it just clouds it a little bit to the point where I'm not really touching Sisko anywhere other than, you know, a deep AL only. Maybe he can, if he's playing 2-3 days a week, if the bat progresses, he can be a catcher two in like a 15 team. But it's depressing from a fantasy aspect, and then even from as a fan, Susak's probably deserves to be a backup catcher, but this team has so many other needs. I get it, Susak was essentially free, but what's the point of even having a guy like that on the roster right now? So just another frustrating thing for Orioles fans.
And I agree on Sisko as far as a back end catcher too, but Susak, everyone's high on him, and I kind of see guys on Twitter and everything turning on Sisko a little bit in favor of Susak. I don't know. Have you been seeing the same thing?
I don't know if it's so much that they're thinking that it's Susak is definitely going to take Sisko's spot. It's just the way the organization worded it, and one of the beat reporters worded it, was that he was brought in for competition, which you never want to hear your, in theory, your top or second best prospect, however you want to look at it. It needs competition just to win a backup role. So it just kind of clouds things more, where Sisko, we might have to wait another year to really get some good fantasy production out of him.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I didn't want to do this podcast without talking about this guy. Bartolo Colon signs a minor league deal in Texas. He's 45 years old, threw 143 innings last year. His ERA was a 6.48. And I'm taking this question from MLB Network. I hope you weren't watching it. He's played on 10 teams in his career. Can you name 10? If you could name 10, that'll be very impressive.
I do not have his player page up in front of me, so let's see here. Montreal.
Correct.
Cleveland.
Correct.
The Yankees.
Yep.
Oakland.
Yep.
Why am I stumbling? Atlanta. Do they count Texas?
No Texas.
Okay, they're not counting Texas yet, obviously.
You're about to say it.
The Mets?
Yep, the Mets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did play for the Mets.
He hit maybe the best home run of all time in San Diego.
Yeah, that he was wearing the Mets uniform. Six?
That's six. You got four six. More.
Oh, geez. I don't want to waste any more of the listeners' time, but I feel like 60% is good. What are the other couple?
That 60% is very good. Chicago White Sox, Los Angeles Angels, Boston Red Sox, and Minnesota Twins from last year.
Oh, duh. Yeah. It was,
yeah. So you got six. You really should have got eight. Yeah. No, that was very impressive. But yeah, Bartolo Colon's in Texas now. It's just a fun story. He doesn't have any fantasy value at all, but it's just something to keep an eye on. Maybe he gets to the big leagues again at 45, 46 years old. So now we talked about pretty much everything relevant that's happened in baseball over the past week. I wanted to get into some player comparisons that I've been seeing a lot of people talking about on the internet, and these are guys that are definitely going to have some fantasy value. So let me start with the first one, Andrew Benintendi and Christian Yelich. Now, I'm seeing Christian Yelich being talked about like he's the second coming of God here since he's been traded. And there definitely is a lot of recency bias. And I put up a poll about, I think it was like a week ago now, or maybe like right after the trade, and who would you rather have? And Yelich won the poll over Benintendi. So now I ask you, Yelich's ADP is a 68. Benintendi's is a 40. Who would you rather have, Benintendi or Yelich, and why?
At those, I guess I would still just rather have Benintendi. It's close. I do think the reason why people are talking about Yelich so much is because there hasn't been, I mean, let's face it, there hasn't been a lot to talk about. It is a great park move for him to go from Marlins Stadium to Miller Park. The lineup is going to be a good one, but he was in a very good one last year, so I don't see runs and RBI changing too much. You do like the power potential since he did seem to kind of swing for the fences more on the road. Everybody talks about having a high ground ball rate for somebody like that, but I do think there's a chance that he was kind of playing to his home park. So we'll see how that plays out. That's something to look at in the first month to see if he's kind of changed his approach at all. But I do think Benintendi's the better player, and I'm fine with where both of them are being drafted currently. I don't think either one's being overdrafted. It looks like in the last couple of weeks since the trade that I'm trying to pull it up, Yelich's ADP hasn't shot up too much. He's still going behind Billy Hamilton, 65th overall on average. I would rather have Benintendi, and I'm, like I said, I'm good with the Yelich hype. I think it's just lack of stuff to talk about, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The recency bias is definitely there. I think when the decision comes down to it and it's getting closer to the season and people are in drafts, they're going with Benintendi because he really has the potential to just skyrocket. We pretty much know what Yelich is at this point. He's a very, very, very good player, but Benintendi could even be better than that, in my opinion. Two other guys I've seen a lot of conversation about on Twitter and other outlets, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. Now, Ramirez's ADP is 19, surprisingly two spots ahead of Lindor at 21. Let me just give you something on Jose Ramirez. I hope it doesn't change your mind about who you would rather have. Jose Ramirez had a better on-base percentage than Nolan Arenado, better ISO than Chris Bryant, struck out less than both of those guys by a large amount. His K percentage was a 10.7, and his BABIP was a 319 to his 318 average. I think Jose Ramirez is unbelievable. Anybody that knows me knows I think Jose Ramirez is unbelievable. Who would you rather have, Jose Ramirez or Francisco Lindor?
Jose Ramirez, but it's just by, you said it was two spots in ADP. I think that's, they should both be going within a couple of picks of each other. The second and third base eligibility is obviously nice. Lindor with that big power spike last year was great for fantasy owners, but it's not something I don't think is going to, that you can bank on to repeat. They're both great players. This has been thrown out a lot over the last year and a half or so when Ramirez really broke out, and somebody basically said if his name wasn't Jose Ramirez, which is a pretty common name, that we would be all over him. But he has kind of that, doesn't have the flashy name. His name's not Christian Yelich, which is fun to say, you know, or even Francisco Lindor. So I do think that had a little bit to do with it when he first broke out, but they're both going where they should go. I would take either one of them. Preference, I guess I would take Ramirez just by a couple of spots, but they're both exceptional players.
I agree with you on pretty much all aspects of that. The last one I want to get to is what I think is a very weird one, and I saw this on Twitter, and people are agreeing with it. The two guys here who I think are world's difference, Luke Weaver and Jordan Montgomery. Now, Luke Weaver's ADP is 105, Montgomery's is 246. Just to get into Weaver a little bit, and I was talking to Travis Wilson, who was on my Fantasy Assembly podcast yesterday. He's a big St. Louis guy, and we kind of agreed that Luke Weaver was so good and everybody was so high on him to the point where now people are going against him. It's kind of like they're turning their back on him, trying to find anything they can to say this is why he's not that good. But within the last couple months, 3-4 months ago, Luke Weaver was a top guy for everybody. What are your opinions on this?
Yeah, it was one of those things that where it looks like the early market was really pumping Weaver up. And now that we've had a chance to look at it, it's starting to come back down the other way. But maybe it's starting to go too far at that price. If I would rather have Montgomery than Weaver, but in my own personal rankings, I had Weaver at least 25-ish or so spots ahead of Montgomery. I like both. I already have a share of Montgomery this offseason. Weaver was somebody that won a lot of people there, or helped win a lot of people their leagues in September. He was, 60 really good innings, 10.7 strikeouts per nine, kept the walks at a reasonable rate. There were two blow-up starts there at the end that could have maybe hurt you a little bit, but he definitely showed the stuff there. He's got a good fastball, got a good changeup, so there's a lot to like there, but at that price, I'm gonna pass.
I like Weaver just as much as the next guy, maybe even more. And I like Montgomery, too. The thing I'm seeing with Weaver is a lot of people are talking about his swinging strike rate, how it's down. I saw somebody compare him to, I believe it was Tony Watson the other day, how their numbers are pretty much go hand in hand if Tony Watson became a starter, blah, blah, blah. But I just am surprised how quickly people turned on Weaver since, like we said, 2-3 months ago,
Yeah, I think it was one of those instances where people are like, oh, everyone's way too high on Luke Weaver, and then he just kind of fell back as draft season has kind of gone along. So for Montgomery, I like Montgomery. He's got four, league average to above league average pitches, which doesn't sound sexy, but it's good. I mean, to have four pitches like that you can throw at any time and throw in any count and have some success with all four, it's huge. The only issue with Montgomery isn't so much really about him as it's about the Yankees. If they're the Yankees, if they have a chance to go get a frontline starting pitcher, even though they probably don't need one, they're going to do it. And unfortunately, Montgomery might be the one that gets the boot out of the rotation. That's the only real hesitation for me, but that's way off in the future, but there is always that chance with him. But I like Montgomery. So
yeah, and another thing to consider with the Yankees always now is that their bullpen's so good that they're going to have a short leash on Montgomery, so he might not go deep into games. So that's just another thing to consider. And we actually have a promo, our first episode, and we have a promo. So let me get my promo voice on here for the listeners. Just give me 1 second. All right. Vertex, if you like betting, I have the deal for you. Eli Rosenfeld of Vertex Betting is one of the best in the business, and unlike many betting information sites, he gives away all his info for free. There is no risk, no sign-ups, no money needed to get the best betting insight in the business. Go check out vertexbetting.com and see why it beats all the other sites out there. And if you want to try out betting for the first time, click on the Bet Now link and sign up for MyBookie and or XBet with a $45 deposit. You will get a $50 rebate from Vertex Betting. Just tell Eli from Vertex that FWFB or Justin Mason sent you a $50 rebate on a $45 deposit. How was that, Randy? That was good?
Wonderful, wonderful.
First promo. All right, let's get into closer situations here. So I picked out what I think are the most dicey closer situations. And like earlier, we touched on the Rangers. I think we spoke about that enough. So the other ones I want to speak on, and maybe the most intriguing one, is the St. Louis Cardinals. And Matheny has already tabbed Gregerson as the closer, but this was before the Leon trade. And since Leon was traded over to St. Louis, everybody's been super high on him. And another factor that plays into this equation is Alex Reyes, whether they want to make him a starter or a closer. He should be back in the beginning of May. I'm sure he'll start in the minor leagues. But when he gets up, I don't know if they're really going to want to put that toll on his arm as a starter. But he could obviously be a dominant closer. How do you see this playing out?
I guess I see Gregerson getting the notch on opening day. That just, you know, if we have some Cardinals fans on staff here that would obviously could tell me if I'm wrong, but I think if they stand pat, they'll probably go with Gregerson to start. But I like Leon. Really, the only thing to not like about him, if you want to make him as your closer, is he was in the bottom third of the league last year in first pitch among relievers in first pitch strike percentage, which isn't ideal. But he's got the swing and miss stuff. He's a fastball cutter guy. Was a really good reliever last year with Toronto. I'm not sure what happened the year before in Arizona. Could have been a thing where he didn't pitch well there. That's a tough park to pitch in. Maybe he was hurt, but that was a nice little pickup for them. I guess big picture, I don't think they're done. Maybe they'll trade for Colum A. Maybe they can get Greg Holland to take a discount. Maybe they have another trade up their sleeve. I don't think they're going to roll into this season with that bullpen. But if they do, I guess Matheny will tab Gregerson for the first couple chances, and then maybe Leon is one of the first guys that's a hot waiver wire pickup that a couple weeks into the season. As far as Reyes goes, I don't see it for this year. I mean, the sky is obviously the limit for him going forward. But coming off of Tommy John, he's, you know, control is always one of the last things to come back from anybody coming off Tommy John. And Reyes wasn't a control guy to begin with. Throughout the minors and his little taste in the majors, he was walking over four guys per nine innings, which you can't do pitching in high leverage situations. So I don't see him sniffing the closer's job. And maybe in September he starts to bring things around, but it'll be too late to help most fantasy owners by then.
And I'm a big advocate of owning or getting as many shares of Leon as I can, because he's one of those guys that you won't have to pay so much for, but that could end up with a ton of saves. Granted, the Cardinals don't make the moves, because I don't see Gregerson holding that job all year, you know?
Yeah, Leon's going to be a hot name for the last couple rounds of your draft and throw a couple bucks on in an auction, but he's got the stuff. You'd like to see him, like I said, be able to throw first pitch strikes more often, but I don't, you know, we've all seen the Luke Gregerson movie. It is what it is. Nice guy, but that's not who you want pitching the ninth inning.
I'm sure he's a very nice guy, but I'll tell you, Leon freaking haunts my Mariner dreams, along with Chris Taylor and Justin Smoke and all these guys that leave the Mariners and have career years. So he's just another one added to the bunch that I kind of hate deep down, but yeah. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, we'll have to do a separate pod one day and cry about all the Mariners and Orioles that have been given away over the last several years. We've got Jake Arrieta and Zach Davies, Eduardo Rodriguez, just to name a few. Josh Hader, so.
Of course, Josh Hader. That was a tough one. Listen, the Marlins have Brad Ziegler, who I assume is going to get saves on opening day, and they have Bearclaw and they have Steckenrider. What do you think? How do you think this situation plays out? Because Bearclaw and Steckenrider are the strikeout guys, but they're going with Ziegler, who's the ground ball guy. Which, I mean, the Marlins aren't winning too many games, but wouldn't it make sense to throw Steckenrider or Bearclaw in a closer?
Well, that's the problem. I think that's why they're rumored to be going with Ziegler, is they want to keep those guys' arbitrations numbers down. I think that's why we saw once they traded Ramos last summer. Bearclaw was hurt at the time of the trade, but he was due back within a couple of weeks, and they just let Ziegler roll with that. And I do think that we've seen what they've done this offseason. If they can save a buck, they're going to do it. So I do think they'll try to throw Ziegler out there as much as they can, or maybe they can pump him up, get 8 to 10 saves and trade him. But if he's the closer, you take him as the last guy or two that goes from the closer, from your closer tier. But it's Bearclaw and especially Steckenrider. Steckenrider is actually somebody that I've gotten pretty high on this offseason, looking into him more. He still has some issues with walks, but not near as much as what Bearclaw did last year. It was kind of disappointing to see Bearclaw not get back to that really dominant 2016 form that he had. But they're both big time high leverage guys that hopefully will one day get a chance to give fantasy owners some benefits. So,
and that's exactly what I was going to say. Steckenrider is almost a better version of Bearclaw. He strikes out a little bit more and walks a little bit less. And that combination, you got that kind of guy, he could be really good.
Yeah, he really could be. But like I said, the Marlins are going to Marlins, so they'll probably roll with Ziegler as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, I see that. And the last one I want to talk about is the Twins. It's kind of more set in stone that Rodney's going to be the closer, last I heard. But then they signed Reed, and Rodney said he didn't know that they were signing Reed. He wasn't aware of any of this. Well, how do you see that playing out? Because over under a month and a half, Fernando Rodney has this job.
Yeah, I mean, we had this conversation the last 4 or 5 years with Fernando Rodney, and you know, we've had a couple of years where he did blow up, but then last year with Arizona, he didn't blow up until the very, very end of the season. He kept that job most of the year, and he would go on these runs where he looked like, you know, Tampa Bay Fernando Rodney, and then he'd have his typical Fernando Rodney blow up. But I did see where they announced after the Reed signing that Rodney was at least currently the closer and would start as the closer, but it's not good for his job security. I do think the Twins are a team. Obviously, they made the wild card game last year. Depending on how this offseason goes, maybe they can add another piece or two, but they have eyes on getting back there. So they're not going to let Rodney have too many blowups. The thing with Arizona last year, they had Archie Bradley, but they didn't really have anybody else that they could justify throwing into that role, even when Rodney was struggling. Whereas Minnesota, it'd be an easy switch to put Reed in there, and Reed would be better for fantasy owners anyway. He's at this point in their careers is a much better pitcher. So you have to draft Rodney. It sucks. It's going to be ugly, and you're going to hate yourself on draft day, but just do it. Take the saves and keep an eye on the situation.
Yeah. And like you brought up Arizona, now they have Boxberger over there, but just talking about these four teams here, three, four teams, right off the bat, you got guys like Leon, Bearclaw, Steckenrider, Keeler, Reed, guys that aren't going to be closing on opening day most likely, who are going to end the season with a ton of value because they're getting their saves. Somehow, some way, they're going to end up with saves for the most part, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all guys to keep an eye on. Stash, if you're in a deeper league, if you're in a draft and hold, those are some of my first bench picks. I have Steckenrider in the draft champions I mentioned earlier, so they're guys to keep an eye on.
Yeah. All right. I think that went pretty well. We hit everything that's happened in baseball over the last week. Like I said earlier, I don't know how many podcasts are talking about the Andrew Susak trade, right? It can't be too many.
Right. Yeah, you can't get that too much else. Hopefully next time we get together, we'll actually have some more stuff to talk about. This has been a pretty brutal offseason for everybody. It's well documented, but
I'm not gonna lie. Better. I was reaching a little bit today with the Bartolo Colon trivia question for sure.
Gotta have something to talk about, right?
Yeah. So hopefully next week's show is a little more exciting. I mean, this is the exciting stuff to me. The little known stuff is the exciting stuff to me. But hopefully next week it's a little more exciting, and maybe we could have Matt Thompson come on the show next week, and he could give us a little more insight on the prospects. Prospects are his thing. Everybody go check out Friends with Fantasy Benefits, listen to the team previews, listen to the prospect minutes. The content that Justin's putting out here is pretty much insane, that he's putting out a different thing every day, not even including all the articles and stuff on the website. Randy, it's been great. Just tell him your Twitter one more time so people know where to at you.
I'm at RTH222.
All right, and you guys could at me at Mike the Rotocop. Really appreciate it. See you next week.